Hello, everybody. Dan Dillman here. I want to welcome you to another day of a little of this, a little of that. Thank you very much for tuning in to 101.5. We certainly enjoy having you here. In fact, without you, there'd be no reason to be here, would there? So don't go away. We're going to try to entertain you, inform you, and maybe during the day, even amuse you. Our first item today deals with the country of Ukraine and also the island of Taiwan off the China coast. And this article is entitled, Why Ukraine's Resolve Inspires Taiwan. Well, the biggest surprise of the war in Ukraine has been the resolve of Ukrainians to defend their national identity, their civic solidarity, rooted in democratic ideals, not only helped them win the battle for the capital of Kyiv, but it also awed the West into sending major weapons. Their unity around shared virtues has been the unseen armor against aggression by Russia. This lesson in resilience may mean the most to another small country, Taiwan. It faces the threat of invasion from a much larger neighbor, China, that asserts a claim to rule the independent island. One slogan on Taiwanese social media is, quote, Ukraine today, Taiwan tomorrow, unquote. And many Taiwanese now ask if they would put up a heroic resistance during the early days of a Chinese assault in order to buy time and win military support from the United States and others. Taiwan has to insist on its principles of democracy, freedom, and dignity, and what the people desire, according to a prominent activist on the island. Like the Ukrainians, the 24 million people of Taiwan have only lately shaped an identity around democracy. Their first direct election of a president was only 24 years ago. China has stepped up military incursions near the island nation since then. While the island has a natural defense in the 100-mile-wide Taiwan Strait, it would need to rely heavily on people's morale to fend off Chinese forces, just enough to gain time for a U.S. response to Beijing. One sign of Taiwan's new unity is a plan to lengthen the time for active military service. It would be extending it from just 4 months to 1 year. Another possible move might include expanding conscription to women. And just before the Ukraine war, nearly three quarters of Taiwanese told pollsters that they would fight for their country if China used force to unify the island with the mainland. Since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, polls show a significant increase in support in Taiwan for officially declaring independence. In addition, 80% of the residents now see their identity as Taiwanese and not Chinese, and this is up from 62% just last year. In May of this year, the government changed its annual emergency drills for earthquakes. People were asked to also train for a simulated missile attack. Ukraine's lessons in civic cohesion are finding followers in Taiwan. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. Thank you. back again, but with an entirely different topic. I'm going to tell you a bit about hail. This being the season of thunderstorms, downpours of rain, and also hail, I'm going to tell you a bit about how hail is made. Whenever rain, snow, sleet, or hail falls from the sky, it's trying to tell us a tale. Hail tells the clearest of these. All hail falls from a cumulonimbus cloud. That's a storm cloud with a sizable thunderstorm inside it. If we see or feel hail, a storm cloud is overhead. The atmosphere is very unstable, and lightning is possible. Hail forms as water droplets and are lifted until they are cold enough to freeze. As small ice pellets form, they grow heavy enough to fall with gravity. And if nothing stopped them, they would continue falling, then thaw, turning back to water on their slow journey to the ground. But in cumulonimbus clouds, the ice is stopped in its downward journey by updrafts, and it's sent back up to the higher levels, where more ice bonds to form an even bigger ice particle. A small young hailstone is born. This falls with gravity, a little heavier than before, and depending on how powerful the updrafts are, it will either fall as a very small hailstone or be raised up once more to grow again and for the cycle to repeat itself. The size of the hailstone is therefore an important part of its story. The bigger it is, the stronger the updrafts in the cumulonimbus cloud, the more unstable the air, and the more likely thunderstorms are. The biggest hailstones, and they can grow to a couple of pounds in weight, or almost 8 inches in diameter, are a sign of a devastatingly powerful storm cloud. In the unlikely event that the size of the hail didn't make you want to run for cover, the storm conditions soon would. The colors in the hailstone also contain their own tale. Hail's journey up and down the cumulonimbus escalator means that it passes from very cold regions at the top to warmer levels nearer the bottom before rising again. Near the top of the cloud, ice traps air in tiny pockets around the hailstone, giving this layer an opaque white color. Nearer the bottom of the cloud, water forms around the hailstone, which soon freezes. The frozen water has a different look, much closer to transparent. The coats of water and ice alternate and build up, leading to an onion-like layer effect in any good-sized hailstone. The layers act as a record of the hailstone's journey. Most individual hailstones are fairly regular, but look at any collection of them on the ground, and you'll see a few very odd shapes. Study them more closely, and you'll see how two or more hailstones have fused together, creating original and sometimes bizarre forms. That's our weather news for the day. How about a story about a sea reptile? Not just your ordinary sea reptile, but one that's big enough to eat a giant squid. Well, around 200 million years ago, the oceans were dominated by ichthyosaurs, fearsome predators ranging from the size of a porpoise to the size of a sperm whale. There are just a handful of specimens in the entire world. Scientists weren't sure whether the largest of the creatures had teeth, like their smaller counterparts. But now, a giant ichthyosaur tooth has been found in the Swiss Alps. You say, if in the mountains, and you're talking about sea. Yes, because this once lay at the bottom of the ocean. And it confirms that these giant reptiles existed. The story was in the Guardian newspaper in the United Kingdom. The tooth, along with vertebrae and ribs, was actually unearthed more than 30 years ago, but paleontologists shelved those remains to concentrate on more promising ichthyosaur fossils they discovered in British Columbia. Researchers at the University of Zurich in Switzerland recently took another look at the Swiss fossils and found they had evidence of three of the largest ichthyosaurs ever discovered. The tooth in question has a root about 2.5 inches wide. Its owner, the researchers think, would have been 65 feet long and likely would have eaten smaller ichthyosaurs and a giant squid. Here is really concrete evidence that in the past, the waters of the Triassic period sheltered some truly massive ocean-going reptiles, possibly as large as the living blue whale. The owner of this tooth was not to be messed with. So stay tuned. Maybe we'll hear more about this as the Swiss scientists study the remains. And now on to another item entirely different about dogs. Stereotypes rule the dog world. Chihuahuas are nervous, border collies are smart, and golden retrievers make great family dogs. But new research suggests the breed has little effect on predicting your pooch's temperament. And that applies in particular to traits commonly linked to personality, such as cuddliness or aggression. What the dog looks like is not really going to tell you what the dog acts like, according to a spokesperson from the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. The Washington Post says that a study has been done examining the genes of more than 2,000 dogs, along with 200,000 survey answers from dog owners. The researchers found that breed accounted for just 9% of behavioral variation, and that no trait was unique to a single breed. They say the remaining 91% of temperament is largely a result of individual experience, training, and environmental factors. Some findings come as a surprise. Pit bulls, outlawed in some cities for aggression, actually scored high on human sociability. Well, every day we learn something new, don't we? Hang on, be right back with some more information. think it's about time for some Q&A. In other words, people write questions into the scientists at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. And here's one, Gail Singer, Washington, D.C., wants to know, how do birds stay balanced upon tree branches while they're asleep? And the answer, birds can be seen sleeping while perched on a branch, standing on one foot, or clinging to bark. Some even sleep while flying. Studies show that birds can let one side of their brain sleep while the other side remains awake. They may also restrict full rapid eye movement. This kind of sleep, they can restrict it to only one part of their brain at a time, allowing them to maintain a standing posture while grabbing those deep Z's. Birds also appear to have an extra balance sensing organ. It's located between their hips, which could help them stay upright while they're sleeping. Taken together, these features make birds champion sleepers. Sounds like a description of a guy I used to know in college. He could go to sleep anywhere. Well, here's another question. Why didn't the 13 colonies keep using the same currency as Great Britain? Well, colonists began producing their own coins, their own banknotes in the 17th century. Initially, they were motivated by shortages of coins from England and Europe. And in the 18th century, each of the colonies produced its own currency in a wide variety of denominations and types. During the Revolutionary War, the Continental Congress issued paper money to fund the war effort. When the U.S. Mint was established in 1792, it was an important marker of American independence. And then a third question from David Cox in Salem, Oregon. He asks the Smithsonian, if chimpanzees can learn sign language and their anatomy is so similar to ours, why can't they speak? The answer is, for a long time, it was thought that non-human primates, including chimpanzees, were unable to speak because they had different vocal anatomy than did humans. Recent studies suggest it may have more to do with how their brains are wired. They most likely lack the appropriate neural control over their vocal muscles. So while chimps have proven their ability to learn grammar, they cannot convey this information through speech. And with that, let's step away for a few moments. Stay with us, please. We have some other information for you. Protect yourself from the heat. That's the main story for today. As this program is being recorded, it is 97 degrees. So I thought I'd tell you about some steps that you might take to keep cool and hydrated all summer. Well, heat-related illness can be dangerous for anyone, but older adults are among the most at risk. That's in part because with age, we're more likely to have a condition or take medication that increases our vulnerability to heat. With extreme heat events becoming more and more common in the U.S., it's key to take precautions against heat-related illness, such as heat stroke. And the experts at Consumer Reports and public health professionals have tips to help protect you. One of these is safeguarding your skin, of not being out in the sun very long. Be sure to use your sunscreen at an appropriate strength. And secondly, you want to dress for the heat. You wear loose-fitting, light-colored clothes. It can help keep you cooler. Don't forget that wide-brimmed hat and sunglasses when you head outside on a steamy day like today. And then stay hydrated. Liquids, by all means, throughout the day, along with your sense of thirst, your sense of taste may fade with age too, and that can make it difficult to feel enthusiastic about drinking fluids. Still, staying hydrated is crucial. So try filling up a pitcher or a large water bottle with water and aim to finish it by the end of the day. The more water, the better. It's amazing how important being hydrated can be. And then you want to chill out when it's the hottest. Avoid working or exercising outside during the hottest part of the day. That's from 10 a.m. to, say, 4 p.m. Stay in an air-conditioned room if you can. And, by the way, don't go out and water the grass or water your flowers in the garden during the heat of the day on these hot, humid days. If you're going to do that, water in the morning and water at dusk, because otherwise you'll be watering for nothing. The evaporation will soon take place. Be smart when you're using fans. Electric standing or ceiling fans can help cool you down. Still, it's best not to rely just on fans. And then keep your AC working right. If something seems amiss with it, get it fixed. And finally, know the signs of heat illness. But by all means, be careful in this extremely warm weather. And to give you some idea of what we're going to be doing in the next program, I'm going to talk about the movie Bull Durham, the baseball movie that came out 30 years ago. And like our national pastime, the movie Bull Durham is timeless. A new book by writer-director Ron Shelton provides play-by-play on the best sports movie of all time. So if you're a baseball fan, you won't want to miss it. And continuing on with our summer of going places, I'm going to tell you about the beauty of Nova Scotia, which has endured despite the many tragedies that have occurred in that province of Canada. You'll want to tune in and hear about Nova Scotia as well. So, my friends, it looks like it's time to think about leaving for today. Thank you for tuning in to 101.5. Remember to keep a little of this, a little of that on your calendar so that you're here for me every week. Be safe. Be careful. Remember, be kind to each other out there. That'll surprise people. We've got to be more kind to each other and more civil when we're talking about things in discussion that can get a little bit heated. Well, Willie's here. He says the car's ready. And so Willie Nelson and I are going to head down the road looking for more items that are appropriate for a little of this, a little of that. Willie, take us home on the road again. And bye-bye to all of you. Thanks for coming. Good day.